You know, being a member of God's family is truly one of the great blessings that we have here upon this earth. Some here today are not members of God's family, and you don't know that joy, you don't know that happiness and peace, and that's why we want to encourage you to think about your relationship with God. It may be that you're one who needs to obey the gospel, and you can do that today if you, in simple trusting faith in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, if you'll resolve that you're going to repent of your sins, that you're going to confess His beautiful name, that He is the Son of God, today you can be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you can know the joy of knowing God as your Father and being a member of God's family. We're so glad that you're here today for what we're calling Every Member Present Day. It really kind of marks the culmination of our Come Home campaign, although really it's just beginning. It's just really beginning for us as we focus on trying to know those who are wayward members of the Lord's church and then putting forth the efforts that we need to put forth to try to bring them back home. I think it's so wonderful for our family, our spiritual family, God's family, to be able to worship God as we are together today. And we certainly love you. We care about you. We earnestly desire all who need to that you will come home. And I hope everyone will remember that the purpose of every single visit, the purpose of every prayer prayed, every note and letter written, every admonition given, every sermon that's been preached, that these things have been done only to encourage those who may need to make that decision to come home. Now, you'll recall on April the 7th, our lesson was designed to encourage every member to be involved in that effort. On April the 14th, the lesson dealt with, you know, what keeps people from coming home. And then last Sunday, our lesson was entitled, How to Know If You Are Away From Home. That was designed to encourage those who need to realize their condition and to make that decision to come home. Our lesson today, though, is simply entitled, The Way Home. If you know deep down in your heart that you need to come home, I want to encourage you today to make that decision, to resolve in your heart that you're going to come back to God. I want to ask you today to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, whereas Brother Melvin, in his lesson a couple of weeks ago, talked about what keeps people from coming home, and what an excellent lesson that was. I'm going to use Luke chapter 15 to talk about the way home. And we're going to spend our time primarily in verses 11 through 24. And of course, Jesus uses two parables to introduce this parable. In verses 4 through 7, he talks about the lost sheep. You see, the sheep wandered away. It wasn't something that was really purposeful. It wasn't something that was intentional. And some people are like that today. Over a period of time, they just gradually drift unintentionally, and they get away from God, and before long, they just really can't believe how far away from God they've gotten. We read about the lost coin in verses 8 through 10. Now, that coin was lost on the inside of the house. Some today are lost on the inside of the church. They don't really wander away like the sheep. It's just their heart is not right. They're just going through the motions of Christianity. They're not really involved in it. And then I want us to look at verses 11 through 24 this morning, and I want to just read those in your hearing today. The Bible says, there was a man who had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. And he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs or swine. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, and I'm perishing here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. You know, that's a wonderful story, isn't it? It's a beautiful story that many times lifts our hearts. We cannot adequately describe this beautiful parable. It's like trying to measure the sunset with the span of your fingers. This has been described as the most divinely tender and humanly touching story ever told on earth. It's very familiar, and yet it's always refreshing as springtime. No story more instantly touches the actual nerve of human life. You know, why does it have today such universal meaning? Why does it have such great appeal to us? Well, I believe all of us can say that, you know, I've been there. That's me. At one time or another, maybe we've been in that far country. It's a story of human frailty. It's a story of human weakness and yet a loving father's eagerness to forgive and to welcome back home that wayward son. You know, why did this boy leave his father's house? Well, if you look at verse 12 and verse 13, we find the answer. And I want us to understand today that this son did not willfully intend to wreck his life. This son never intended to wind up in the pig pen. You know, he didn't have as his goal when he left his father's house, I just can't wait till I have the opportunity to be able to feed swine. Nobody intends to waste their life when they leave the Lord. You know, this younger son did not leave home just to grieve other people either. There's no indication here that this younger son was filled with spite and he wanted to hurt his father. He wanted to hurt his family. I don't think anybody goes off into sin with the purpose of grieving others, and yet often others are deeply hurt by our sins. Our decisions always impact other people. And we need to understand that. You can't say, well, it's my decision, it's my life, it's going to impact only me. That's not true. That's a lie. Your decision will impact the lives of those round about you. But you know, this also is true that he left because of self-will. This younger son wanted freedom. He wanted freedom without restraint. It seemed like, you know, being home was boring. He wanted something new out there. And his self-will, his selfish spirit, made him blind to how deeply he was hurting his father and how deeply he was hurting those around him. You know, really, when you think about it, self-will and selfishness is at the heart of all sin. Was that not true in the case of Adam and Eve? Was it not true that they had the desire at the temptation of Satan to be like God, knowing good and evil? Or what about the sin of David and Bathsheba? Did not self-will cause David to commit adultery and the result of his selfishness cause tragedy in his family for generations to come? Or what about Israel rebelling against God and forgetting about all that God had done for them? It was self-will that led Israel to sin. They wanted to be like the people round about them. They wanted to serve themselves. And then you think about the things that are before us in the news every day. We think about human sex trafficking. We think about the abuse of alcohol that is running rampant in our country today. We think about gambling and the gambling industry. We think about pornography and the millions and millions of people who have fallen prey to X addiction. See, all of this is because of selfishness. It's because of self-will. Self-will is the reason why so many leave the church. It's why so many leave their family and their children. This son left because he wanted to please himself and nobody else. Now, did the father make a mistake here in letting the son go? You notice the son's demand here. He said, "Give me the portion of goods that's due me." Now, the Old Testament law was very clear. In Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17, the older son was to receive a double portion. And so the father divided unto them his living. It really wasn't all that unusual for the father to divide his substance before his death. And notice here how the father didn't try to talk him out of it. The father didn't seemingly try to stop him. There were a lot of anxieties inside the father that were just left unexpressed. He gave the son what he demanded, and he simply let him go. To do otherwise would not have accurately portrayed God. You see, God gives us abilities. He gives us opportunities. He gives us blessings in life, and we are free to choose. God has manifested His love toward us, and it's up to us to decide how we're going to respond to what God has done for us. God does not and will not use force either to draw us or to hold us. And then notice here that he went into that far country. Now, I want you to notice here exactly what happened. The Bible says here, not many days after, he left with little delay. He is off to see the world. Now he's his own master. Now this young man could do his own thing. He could do anything he wanted to, regardless of his father's wishes and guidance. You know, the wise man said in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your own eyes." But he said, "Know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." And the Bible says this younger son gathered all. He called in all the loans. He sold all the land. He turned in the jewels to money. He went carefree on his way. And the Bible says he took his journey into a far country. And that represents a life of sin. He left his father's house. He left the blessings and the security of home. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Notice now he's free from his father's restraints. Happy days, sparkling nights, recklessly scattering his living and his substance that not many weeks ago he had gathered together. The Bible says when he had spent all. Notice a few verses above, before he left, he gathered all. Now the Bible says he has spent all. He has spent the entire inheritance. And the Bible says he began to be in want. He's desperate. You know, back in his father's house, he not only enjoyed love and security, but he enjoyed rich material blessings as well. And now he's as destitute as any human being can possibly be. And the Bible says he went and joined himself. Literally, he glued himself to a citizen of that land. And notice how that citizen sent him, told him where to go. He sent him out into the field to feed swine. You see, this boy who wanted so much freedom now has totally lost his freedom. He was told what to do. He was sent out into the field to feed swine. And only a Jew could really know how humiliating that was. Swine were unclean animals. This was the most despicable thing that any Jew could possibly imagine. And now this once proud, wealthy Jewish boy who had every blessing imaginable is now doing the most detestable thing a Jewish young man could do. He's feeding swine. And the Bible says he would fain have filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat. He's so hungry physically that he would actually try to fill his belly with hog feed. You know, the food of animals cannot satisfy the hunger of human beings. And then I want you to notice how that this cost him dearly. You know, does it really pay to please self? Does it really pay to just go do what you want to do and live any way you choose? I want you to look at what this decision cost this young man. First of all, it cost him fellowship in his father's house. It cost him the joys of home. He learned, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. And folks, when we choose to serve self more than God, we forfeit our relationship with Him. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." James said in chapter 4 and verse 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You see, to leave God is to leave the home of the soul. And yet the psalmist said in chapter 90 and verse 1, "You, Lord, have been our dwelling place in all generations." But notice how also that his pleasing himself cost him his good name. You know, the Bible says a good name, Proverbs 22 and verse 1, is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, how many people have lost their good name, their reputation, their character through sinful living? And then I want you to notice how he lost his true friends. The Bible says no man gave unto him. As long as he had money, his friends were around. But just as soon as the money ran out, his friends were gone as well. But then notice how, too, that this young man, by trying to please self, lost his peace of mind. He wasted his substance in riotous living, and oh, how miserable he is now. And folks, when we leave the Father's house, we're going to lose peace of mind. We may think we can find it serving ourselves. We may think we can find it doing what we please and doing what we want and serving ourselves, but we will never find true peace of mind away from the Father's house. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't it wonderful to have the peace of God every day that you live? And yet, when you're away from home, when you're away from God, you no longer know what that peace is. And notice, too, how that this young man, when he went out and experienced his freedom, trying to find his freedom, he lost his freedom. You know, that's the reason he left to begin with, wasn't it? He wanted to be free. In seeking freedom, though, what did he find? He found that he was a slave to sin. A citizen sent him into the fields to feed swine. Just like Samson in the Old Testament, he wanted freedom, but he ended up in bondage. And folks, when we go off into sin, when we think that we're enjoying freedom, we're going to end up paying a lot more than we want to pay. We're going to go a lot further than we ever wanted to go, and we're going to stay a lot longer than we ever wanted to stay. We lose our freedom when we choose to leave home and stay away from home. And notice, too, how this young man lost his self-respect. You know, the son of a rich man becomes a slave. A Jew became a hog feeder. Sin will rob an individual of their self-respect. You think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, they were naked and they knew it. And they said, "I was afraid," Adam said. "I hid myself among the trees of the garden." They lost their self-respect when they were involved in sin. And notice, too, how this young man who was seeking joy actually lost his joy. It seemed like life was thrilling and happy. Now he's disgraced, hungry, and miserable. Isaiah says in Isaiah 48 and verse 22, "There's no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked." And if you are away from God, you can never expect to enjoy peace and security and true happiness while you're away from God. You may try to find it, but you won't find it apart from God. And then notice how it cost him all he had. The Bible says when he had spent all, money, clothes, shoes, food, he had done more than spend money. He spent his spiritual resources as well. He was hungry in body and in soul. There's always a famine in the land where God is forgotten. And now he's alone. His fair weather friends, so-called friends, were now gone. The pleasures didn't last. He got hungry. He was willing to fill his belly with the husk the pigs did eat. And some people, sadly, don't look up until they fall flat on their faces. Let's switch gears now and ask the question, what caused him to return? Verse 17 says, he came to himself. What a fool I've been. Back home, there's plenty of food. Even the servants are much better off than I am. I was out of my mind to begin with to ever leave my father's house. He finally, for the first time, sees himself as he really is. And I believe it's a great hour when one sees himself and faces the true facts of his situation. You know, people simply are not going to change. They're not going to come home until they look in the mirror and see themselves as they truly are. I think there's some here today who may need to look in that mirror, and you may need to really see yourself as you truly are. And then you look at his decision. It's not just that he's going to return and maybe turn over a new leaf. He's not going to make just a few little changes that, you know, might be convenient for him. He's going to totally turn around. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." You know, the way home, the trip home was hard. It's easy to leave home, isn't it? It's easy to get away from God, but oftentimes it can be hard to come back. It's hard physically. He was starving, ragged clothes, barefooted. It was hard emotionally. There's the burden of sin. He had to look his father in the eyes, but he resolved to go all the way back. You know, he wasn't just going to slip in, right, and maybe pretend nothing had ever happened. But he said, "I will arise and go to my father. And I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your hired servants." He doesn't blame his father. He doesn't blame friends. He doesn't blame Satan. He doesn't blame other people for the reason that he's away from home. Instead, this young man determined to acknowledge his sins. Just like David, in Psalms 51, when he confessed his sins, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins are ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." You know, there's no mincing of words here. There's no jabbering of excuses. He is overwhelmed by a sense of unworthiness. He knows his sins are grievous. And there's a great need today for those who are away from home to do what this young man did and make the decision to come home. And then notice his action. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. No delay, no waiting, no second thoughts. He knew his condition, and he determined to change. And what a painful journey it must have been to return home hungry, barefooted, to come home in rags and in shame. But then I want you to notice the father's loving and forgiving attitude. Verse 20, you know, when the father saw him, he was filled with contempt and shut the door. So what happened? When the father saw him, he put him on probation. That's not what happened either. Notice here that the father was anxiously waiting for the son's return. Verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, ask yourself the question, why did the father see his young son while he was yet a great way off? How long had that father been anxiously watching, waiting, hoping, and yearning for his son's return? There's no doubt in my mind that he was watching daily. He recognized that young son, even in his rags. You know, something about the way the young man walked, something about the way he looked. And, you know, why didn't the father even preserve his dignity and just wait for the son to come to him? The father simply couldn't wait. He was overwhelmed with joy by his wayward son's return. And this is a beautiful and graphic picture of God's eagerness to receive and to forgive those who are away from home. And if you are away today, you need to realize God is like that father. He longs for you to come home no matter what you've done, no matter how indifferent or unconcerned you may be. There's nothing you have done that will keep the father from running to meet you with joy. And in verse 21, the father doesn't even allow the son to finish his confession. It's as if the son says, wait a minute, I sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. The father doesn't even let him finish. His love is so eager, he's so willing to forgive that he doesn't even seek, he doesn't even require an explanation. And notice how his father restored him completely and fully to the fellowship of his house. There's no questions asked. The father said to his servants in verse 22, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and let's celebrate. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He's lost and he's found. And they begin to be merry. Put on him the best robe. All the marks of the far country, all the marks are to be removed. Put a ring on his finger. That's a symbol of sonship. Put shoes on his feet. You know, slaves go barefooted. He's a son, and he must have shoes to show he's a part of the family. Bring forth the fatted calf and be merry, for my son was lost and he's found. It demonstrates the unspeakable joy at the return of the wayward son. In Luke 15, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Here in Luke chapter 15, the forgiving father is the most beautiful, graphic, descriptive pictures of God, I believe, in all the Bible. I believe it clearly demonstrates his wonderful, beautiful, and forgiving spirit. Now, what I need to do today is ask myself, have I left my father's house? Have I gone off into the far country of sin? You know, maybe I've gotten away from God like the lost sheep. I got, maybe unintentionally, I've drifted and wandered. Didn't really mean to, but I just got carried away by other things. And the loving shepherd longs for you to return home. Or maybe you're like that lost coin. You're inside the house. You never really left, but your heart's not right. Your heart's not really true in serving God and putting Him first. Or maybe you're like this lost son. You left home by your own choice. But you see, no matter why, no matter how you left, you need to understand that God wants you to return. He stands with outstretched arms waiting to receive you. He's hoping. He's waiting. He's yearning for your return. How long has the Father been waiting? Do you have a heart today that will keep Him waiting for one moment longer? All you need to do is simply confess your sins, turn from them, ask God to forgive you in prayer, realize that God wants you to return. But you see, that choice is up to you. While together we stand.